or broken up.
Why do you care? If you don't like it, why don't you leave? I know you're some spy for some other company, or Williamson, some loony anarchist politician.
Mate, this is it. You know this affects everyone. When were you last able to meaningfully contact your parents? Obviously, things are messed up, and you're in a unique position to influence very crucial historical events here. This is it. This is the moment where history pivots. Imagine if you could have been there before Hitler became chancellor, before Stalin annexed Eastern Europe. We're on the verge of having another very hungry, very evil empire on our hands, May. Do you understand?
Do you know how crazy you sound?
May? I know you're doing that big plankton meeting in a couple days, the one where the kids pitch their ideas, hoping the circle buys them and devours them.
So?
The audience will be big. We need to reach the young, and the plankton pitching is when your watchers will be young and vast. It's perfect. The wise men will be there. I need you to take that opportunity to warn everyone. I need you to say, let's think about what closing the circle means.
You mean completing?
Same thing. What it means for personal liberties, for the freedom to move, do whatever one wants to do, to be free.
You're a lunatic. I can't believe I...
May meant to finish that sentence with, slept with you, but now, even the thought of it seemed sick.
May, no entity should have the power those guys have.
I'm hanging up. May, think about it. They'll write songs about you. She hung up. By the time she made it to the Great Hall, it was raucous with a few thousand circlers. The rest of the campus had been asked to stay at their workspaces to demonstrate to the world how democracy would work across the whole company, with circlers voting from their desks, from their tablets and phones, and even retinally. On the screen in the great room, a vast grid of sea change cameras showed circlers at the ready in every corner of every building. Sharma had explained, in one of a series of zings, that once the democracy questions were sent, each circler's ability to do anything else, any zing, any keystroke, would be suspended until they voted.
Democracy is mandatory here,
she said, and added, much to May's delight,
sharing is caring.
May planned to vote on her wrist and had promised her watchers that she would take into account their input too if they were quick enough. The voting, Sharma suggested, shouldn't take longer than 60 seconds. And then the democracy logo appeared on the screen, and the first question arrived below it. 1. Should the circle offer more veggie options at lunch? The crowd in the Great Hall laughed. Sharma's team had chosen to start with the question they'd been testing. May checked her wrist, seeing that a few hundred watchers had sent smiles, and so she chose that option and pushed send. She looked up to the screen, watching circlers vote, and within 11 seconds, the whole campus had done so, and the results were tabulated. 88% of the campus wanted more veggie options at lunch. A zing came through from Bailey. It shall be done. The Great Hall shook with applause. The next question appeared. 2. Should take your daughter to work day happen twice a year instead of just once? The answer was known within 12 seconds. 45% said yes. Bailey zinged, looks like once is enough for now. The demonstration so far was a clear success, and May was basking in the congratulations of circlers in the room and on her wrist and from watchers worldwide. The third question appeared, and the room broke up with laughter. 3. John or Paul or Ringo? The answer, which took 16 seconds, provoked a riot of surprised cheers. Ringo had won, with 64% of the vote. John and Paul were nearly tied at 20 and 16. The fourth question was preceded by a sober instruction. Imagine the White House wanted the unfiltered opinion of its constituents, and imagine you had the direct and immediate ability to influence U.S. foreign policy. Take your time on this one. There might come a day, there should come a day, when all Americans are heard in such matters. The instructions disappeared, and the question arrived. 4. Intelligence agencies have located terrorist mastermind Muhammad Khalil Ahmed in a lightly populated area of rural Pakistan. Should we send a drone to kill him, considering the likelihood of moderate collateral damage? May caught her breath. She knew this was a demonstration only, but the power felt real. And it felt right. Why wouldn't the wisdom of 300 million Americans be taken into account when making a decision that affected them all? May paused, thinking, weighing the pros and cons. The circlers in the room seemed to be taking the responsibility as seriously as May. How many lives would be saved by killing Al-Hamed? It could be thousands, and the world would be rid of an evil man. The risk seemed worth it. She voted yes. The full tally arrived after 1 minute 11 seconds. 71% of circlers favored a drone strike. A hush fell over the room. Then the last question appeared. 5. Is May Holland awesome or what? May laughed, and the room laughed, and May blushed, thinking this was all a bit much. She decided she couldn't vote on this one, given how absurd it would be to cast a vote either way, and she simply watched her wrist, which she soon realized had been frozen. Soon the question on her wrist screen was blinking urgently. All circlers must vote, the screen said, and she remembered that the survey couldn't be complete until every circler had registered their opinion. Because she felt silly calling herself awesome, she pushed frown, guessing it would be the only one, and would get a laugh. But when the votes were tallied, seconds later, she was not the only one to have sent a frown. The vote was 97% to 3, smiles to frowns, indicating that overwhelmingly her fellow circlers found her awesome. When the numbers appeared, the great room erupted in whoops, and she was patted on the back as everyone filed out, feeling the experiment a monumental success. And May felt this way, too. She knew democracy was working and its potential unlimited, and she knew she should feel good about 97% of the campus finding her awesome. But as she left the hall and made her way across campus, she could only think of the 3% who did not find her awesome. She did the math. If there were now 12,318 circlers, they just subsumed a Philadelphia startup specializing in the gamification of affordable housing, and every one of them had voted, that meant that 369 people had frowned at her, thought she was something other than awesome. No, 368. She'd frowned at herself, assuming she'd be the only one. She felt numb. She felt naked. She walked through the health club, glancing at the bodies sweating, stepping on and off machines, and she wondered who among them had frowned at her. 368 people loathed her? She was devastated. She left the health club and looked for a quiet place to collect her thoughts. She made her way to the rooftop near her old pod where Dan had first told her of the circle's commitment to community. It was a half-mile walk from where she was, and she wasn't sure she could make it. She was being stabbed. She had been stabbed. Who were these people? What had she done to them? They didn't know her, or did they? And what kind of community members would send a frown to someone like May, who was working tirelessly with them, for them, in full view? She was trying to hold it together. She smiled when she passed fellow circlers. She accepted their congratulations and gratitude, each time wondering which of them was two-faced, which of them had pushed that frown button, each push of that button the pull of a trigger. That was it, she realized. She felt full of holes, as if every one of them had shot her from behind, cowards filling her with holes. She could barely stand. And then, just before reaching her old building, she saw Annie. They hadn't had a natural interaction in months, but immediately something in Annie's face spoke of light and happiness. Hey, she said, catapulting herself forward to take May in a wraparound hug. May's eyes were suddenly wet, and she wiped them, feeling silly and elated and confused. All her conflicted thoughts of Annie were, for a moment, washed away. You're doing well? She asked. I am. So many good things happening, Annie said. Did you hear about the Past Perfect project? May sensed something in Annie's voice then, an indication that Annie was talking, primarily, to the audience around May's neck. May went along. Well, you told me the gist before. What's new with Past Perfect, Annie? While looking at Annie and appearing interested in what Annie was saying, May's mind was elsewhere. Had Annie frowned at her? Maybe just to knock her down a notch? And how would Annie fare in a democracy poll? Could she beat 97%? Could anyone? Oh gosh, so many things, May. As you know, Past Perfect has been in the works for many years. It's what you might call a passion project of Eamon Bailey. What if, he thought, we use the power of the web and of the circle and its billions of members to try to fill in the gaps in personal history and history generally?
May, seeing her friend trying so hard, could do nothing but try to match her glossy enthusiasm.
Whoa, that sounds incredible. Last we talked, they were looking for a pioneer to be the first to have their ancestry mapped. Did they find that person?
Well, they did, May. I'm glad you asked. They found that person, and that person is me.
Oh, right. So they really didn't choose yet?
No, really,
Annie said, her voice lowering and suddenly sounding more like the actual Annie. Then she brightened again, rising an octave.
It's me!
May had become practiced in waiting before speaking. Transparency had taught her to measure every word. And now, instead of saying, I expected it to be some newbie, someone without a whole lot of experience, or at the very least a striver, someone trying to make some party rank leaps or curry favor with the wise men, but you? She realized that Annie was, or felt she was, in a position where she needed a boost, an edge, and thus she'd volunteered.
You volunteered?
I did,
Annie said, looking at May but utterly through her.
The more I heard about it, the more I wanted to be the first. As you know, but your watchers might not, my family came here on the Mayflower,
and here she rolled her eyes, and though we have some high water marks in our family history, there's so much I don't know. May was speechless. Annie had gone haywire.
And everyone's on board with this? Your parents?
They're so excited. I guess they've always been proud of our heritage and the ability to share it with people, and along the way find out a bit about the history of the country. Well, it appealed to them. Speaking of parents, how are yours?
My God, this was strange, May thought. There were so many layers to all this, and while her mind was counting them, mapping them, and naming them, her face and mouth had to carry on this conversation.
They're fine, May said, even though she knew, and Annie knew, that May hadn't been in touch with them in weeks.
They had sent word through a cousin of their health, which was fine, but they had left their home. Fleeing was the only word they used in their brief message, telling May not to worry about anything. May wrapped up the conversation with Annie and walked slowly, foggy-headed, back through campus, knowing Annie was satisfied in how she'd communicated her news and trumped and thoroughly confused May, all in one brief encounter. Annie had been appointed the center of Past Perfect, and May hadn't been told, and was made to look idiotic. Certainly, that would have been Annie's goal. And why Annie? It didn't make sense to go to Annie when it would have been easier to have May do it. May was already transparent. May realized that Annie had asked for this, begged the wise men for this. Her proximity to them had made it possible. And so May was not as close as she'd imagined. Annie still held some particular status. Again, Annie's lineage, her head start, the varied and ancient advantages she enjoyed were keeping May second, always second, like she was some kind of little sister who never had a chance of succeeding an older, always older sibling. May was trying to remain calm, but messages were coming through her wrist that made clear her viewers were seeing her frustration, her distraction. She needed to breathe. She needed to think. But there was too much in her head. There was Annie's ludicrous gamesmanship. There was this ridiculous Past Perfect thing, which should have gone to May. Was it because May's parents had slipped off the path? And where were her parents anyway? Why were they sabotaging everything May was working for? But what was she working for anyway, if 368 circlers didn't approve of her, 368 people who apparently actively hated her enough to push a button at her, to send their loathing directly to her, knowing she would know immediately their sentiments? And what about this cellular mutation some Scottish scientist was worried about, a cancerous mutation that might be happening inside May, provoked by mistakes in her diet? Had that really happened? And shit, May thought, her throat tightening. Did she really send a frown to a group of heavily armed paramilitaries in Guatemala? What if they had contacts here? Certainly, there were plenty of Guatemalans in California, and certainly they would be more than happy to have a trophy like May to punish her for her opprobrium. Fuck, she thought. Fuck. There was a pain in her, a pain that was spreading its black wings inside her, and it was coming primarily from the 368 people who apparently hated her so much they wanted her gone. It was one thing to send a frown to Central America, but to send one just across campus? Who would do that? Why was there so much animosity in the world? And then it occurred to her, in a brief and blasphemous flash, she didn't want to know how they felt.
The flash opened up into something larger, an even more blasphemous notion that her brain contained too much, that the volume of information, of data, of judgments, of measurements was too much, and there were too many people, and too many desires of too many people, and too many opinions of too many people, and too much pain from too many people, and having all of it constantly collated, collected, added, and aggregated, and presented to her as if that all made it tidier and more manageable. It was too much. But no. No, it was not, her better brain corrected. No, you're hurt by these 368 people. This was the truth. She was hurt by them, by the 368 votes to kill her. Every one of them preferred her dead. If only she didn't know about this. If only she could return to life before this 3%, when she could walk through campus, waving, smiling, chatting idly, eating, sharing human contact, without knowing what was deep in the hearts of the 3%. To frown at her, to stick their fingers at that button, to shoot her that way? It was a kind of murder. May's wrist was flashing with dozens of messages of concern. With help from the campus sea change cameras, watchers were noticing her standing stock still, her face contorted into some raging, wretched mask. She needed to do something. She went back to CE, waved to Jarrett and the rest, and logged herself into the chute. In minutes, she had helped with a query from a small jewelry maker in Prague, had checked out the maker's website, had found the work intriguing and wonderful, and had said so, aloud and in a zing, which produced an astronomical conversion rate and a retail raw, in 10 minutes, of 52,098 euros. She helped a sustainably sourced furniture wholesaler in North Carolina, Design for Life, and after answering their query, they wanted her to fill out a customer survey, which was especially important given her age and income bracket. They needed more information about the preferences of customers in her demographic. She did that, and also commented on a series of photos her contact at Design for Life, Cherie-Lee Franteau, had sent her of her son at his first t-ball practice. When May commented on those photos, she received a message from Cherie-Lee thanking May and insisting that she come to Chapel Hill sometime to see Tyler in person and eat some genuine barbecue. May agreed she would, feeling very good to have this new friend on the opposite coast, and moved on to her second message from a client, Jerry Ulrich, in Grand Rapids, Michigan, who ran a refrigerated truck company. He wanted May to forward a message to everyone on her list about the company's services, that they were trying very hard to increase their presence in California, and any help would be appreciated. May zinged him that she would tell everyone she knew, starting with the 14,611,002 followers she had, and he sent word back that he was thrilled to have been so introduced and that he welcomed business or comments from all 14,611,002 people, 1,556 of whom instantly greeted Jerry and said they too would spread the word. Then, as he was enjoying the flood of messages, he asked May how his niece, who was graduating from Eastern Michigan University in the spring, might go about getting a job at the Circle. It was her dream to work there, and should she move out to the West to be closer, or should she hope to get an interview based on her resume alone? May directed him to the HR department and gave him some hints of her own. She added the niece to her contact list and made a note to keep track of her progress if she indeed applied for work there. One customer, Hector Casilla of Orlando, Florida, told May about his interest in birding, sent her some of his photos, which May praised and added to her own photo cloud. Hector asked her to rate them, for this might get him noticed in the photo-sharing group he was trying to join. She did so, and he was ecstatic. Within minutes, Hector said, someone in his photo-sharing group had been deeply impressed that an actual circler was aware of his work, so Hector thanked May again. He sent her an invitation to a group exhibition he was part of that winter in Miami Beach, and May said if she found herself down that way in January, she would certainly attend, and Hector, perhaps misconstruing the level of her interest, connected her with his cousin, Natalia, who owned a bed and breakfast only 40 minutes from Miami, and who could absolutely get May a deal if she chose to come out. Her friends, too, were welcome. Natalia then sent a message with the B&B's rates, which, she noted, were flexible if she wanted to stay during the week. Natalia followed up a moment later with a long message full of links to articles and images of the Miami area, elucidating the many activities possible in winter. Sport fishing, jet skiing, dancing. May worked on, feeling the familiar tear, the growing blackness, but working through it, killing it, until she finally noticed the time. 10:32. She'd been in CE for over 4 hours. She walked to the dorms, feeling far better, feeling calm, and found Francis in bed, working on his tablet, pasting his face into his favorite movies.
"Check this out," he said,
and showed her a sequence from an action movie where, instead of Bruce Willis, the protagonist now seemed to be Francis Garaventa. The software was near perfect, Francis said, and could be operated by any child. The Circle had just purchased it from a 3-person startup out of Copenhagen.
"I guess you'll see more new stuff tomorrow," Francis said,
and May remembered the meeting with the plankton pitchers.
It'll be fun. Sometimes the ideas are even good, and speaking of good ideas...
And then Francis pulled her down to him and kissed her and pulled her hips into him, and for a moment she